The following recording offers you a number of different options for the Daf Yomi. It begins with a recording of this, the 13 cycles of Daf Yomi, and that's done rather rapidly, within a half an hour or less. That's followed by a quick review between 5 and 10 minutes, depending on the length of the Daf. After that comes the very same Daf from the previous cycle, done at greater length and much greater detail, with different participants and a different ambience. You could choose one for your original learning, one for review, alternate, or whatever you do, enjoy. Today's Daf from Nesechet Shabbat, brought to you by Ben Chomot Yerushalayim, is Daf Yud Beit. And the last thing that we were learning yesterday was the question of why it would be that a Zav who goes out with his little sanitary pocket is considered to be potter just because it was bo bayom, and therefore it wouldn't have made any difference whether he catches a re'ir or doesn't, but is it there still a problem of using this as a sanitary napkin so that he's keeping his clothing clean? So what in the world is the reason for that? The last thing that we said was that the Tana holds kol itzule tinuf lo kachashiv, and that is one line up from the Banav of Amud Beit, which means that if someone is wearing something for the sole purpose of keeping something else clean, it is not considered to be choshev as a shir for hotzah. And where is this Tana? It's not. It says in the Mishnah, kofe ke'ara al hakotel. Somebody takes a bowl, turns it upside down on a wall, which is being exposed to a flow of rain, and he doesn't want the wall to be eaten away by the rain that's coming down on it. So he takes a bowl, turns it upside down, and puts it over the wall. So the din over there is, what is your purpose? If the purpose had nothing to do with the wall, you want the water that's gushing out of the rain pipe, or that's coming down from the sky, you want it because you want it to clean the kiara, which is cheaper than running your dishwasher. So then the halacha is, hareze b'chiyutan. Remember that the Torah writes a din of, which is called Hechsher Zra'im, and that if something is mekabel tuma, if it's something that grows, is only mekabel tuma after it's been exposed to water, after it's been disconnected from the ground. That's called Hechsher. The problem is that the water that it's exposed to has to be, even though it says in the pasuk yutan mayim azera, which is passive, it's written as if it's spelled kiyitain mayim azera. So what we learn is there that you don't need literally kiyitain, which means that it would have to be poured out by a human, but you need a kiyutan that is similar to a kiyutan, meaning this rain, so it's passive, but it's something that I wanted. Now, if you wanted the rain in order to wash out your bowl, so then it would be included in water that would be machshir zrayim, and if this water is actually the source of an exposure of zrayim, then it's considered to be kiyutan, and not these zrayim could be makabal tuma, for sure it falls on them and so on. But if the point over here was, you don't want the wall to be worn down by the water that keeps falling on it, then that means that any water that falls on this glass, on this bowl, is not something that you want there. So the same thing would be true over here. Since the Zav is wearing this little pocket only in order to prevent his clothes from getting dirty, so then it's not considered to be chashav. What are you talking about? The issue over here with the kiyutain is the contents. It's the water. You're talking about the bowl, so to speak. You're talking about the kiss. What in the world does one have to do with anything? You took something to protect the wall. You simply don't want the mashkin. Fine. And that's the only issue that we have, is the mashkin. We're not interested in the bowl. But when it comes to Shabbat, we're interested in the bowl. What does that have to do with whether you want the mashkin? You want the kiss. And you're telling me, yes, but I only want it not to get something else dirty. Fine. So, what does that have to do with the case? If you insist, which I think is very far-fetched, but if you insist on comparing this to anything that has to do with Hechsher Zrayim, I would say compare it exactly to the opposite halacha, which is Holodamya. If you're going to compare it to Zrayim, so then it's closer to the closing case in this Mishnah. And what is the closing case of the Mishnah? The closing case is Ella LaSeifa. The Seifa speaks about an Areva, Shenatna, should say, Sheyered Delaflatocha. So let's say you have now a large bowl that is used for mixing flour and making dough. So you put it right side up, not like the case of the Kiara, but a right side up, in order that the flow of the drain pipe should come into it, okay? Then any water that squirts and splatters from it, Nitazin, or flows over it, Nitzpin, Enan Bechiyutan. But what does that imply? That Shibitochai, this is not part of the Mishnah language, but it's an implication. Shibitochai, if it were caught inside of the Areva, it would be by definition Bechiyutan. Because, if you really wanted to make sure that you didn't have the water, you would have turned it upside down.
But the point over here is, you know, the main point is that the areva is, I just don't want the water to go directly down. But since I didn't turn it in the other direction, so I want it to be mekabel the water, because to me, the kabbalah of the water was a better way to protect things than just to have it upside down and let the water flow off of it, right? So I wanted to take my chances that it'll overflow. The overflow, fine. So what does that mean? My main focus is to protect. Nonetheless, the way in which I'm protecting is by taking the contents and making sure the contents doesn't get on something else. That's the case of the kiss. So if anything, it proves the opposite. The comparison to the dinim of Heksher Tumah would tell me over here that the kiss of a zav is considered to be chashuv, and therefore the fact that it's itzulei mitinuf is no reason to potter him from wearing that kiss. So forget about this approach. Is not a good approach to explain the two different brayot. Why one of them says you'd be potter, and one of them says you'd be chayav. Look, it's very obvious what this is. This is the old standby, our favorite machloket. What is the din of melakasha einat zricha legufa? Are you interested for any reason in having this zivais? Are you doing a microscopic study of zivais? No, you're not interested in the zivais. All you want to do is you want to make sure that your clothes don't get dirty. Great. So now you're telling me you're carrying this, but is that the purpose of carrying? The purpose of carrying is for having what it is that you're carrying. And over here, since ultimately the purpose here, you have no interest in what you're carrying. You'd much prefer not to have to even need to carry. Therefore, that's considered to be a malakha that is not required for its own central purpose. It's not required legufa. That is a standing machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon all over Shas. If it's ain't tzrich legufa, according to Rabbi Yehuda, your potter, Rabbi Shimon, your potter, according to Rabbi Yehuda, your chayef, and therefore the brayot over here are simply reflective of those two famous shitot, where it says if you go out your potter, it's going aliba to Rabbi Shimon, and when it says you go out your chayef, it's going aliba to Rabbi Yehuda. Anyway, now it turns out that according to the Gemara that we just said, that a tzulek tinuf is considered to be a hotzah, that at least it's considered to be osir, would you be allowed to wear a raincoat on Shabbos? Is it tzulei mitinuf? So this is a big question. Let's take it another step. Would you be allowed to wear a hat cover on Shabbos? One of those plastic hat covers. You see, a raincoat, Rabbi Shimon is matir, because when I say on Shabbos, of course, I mean in normal places where they remember that there's an osir hotzah on Shabbos. So, if you're wearing a raincoat, since a raincoat is a beged for itself as well, I mean, that's a design and so on and so forth, it's not a piece of plastic that you're wearing over your clothes, it's tzulei mitinuf. It's the type of clothing which is also a tzulei mitinuf. That Ramosha's matter, but what about a hat cover? So that's a big machlokas of the poskim acharonim. Reb Shlomo Zalman was noted to be matter in a place where the norm is, which is only in insane places, where the norm is that becomes part of the design of your hat. You know, there's all these yeshiva guys walk around with these absurd-looking covers to the hat. It's no stupider than the hat itself. They both look silly. So mamela, it would also be mutter in times. If it's something you take off and it stops raining, then already, it's really only a tzulei mitinuf, but otherwise it would just be a hat that's mitunuf. That definitely is not mutter. Right. So I need a very Yishmael. You can go out wearing your tefillin, even though it's close to Shabbat. And I thought we said we don't go out carrying things because you might forget. Now you would say, I think immediately, that the reason for this is very simple. What's the worst that's going to happen? You'll carry your tefillin, so what? Tefillin anyway is considered to be Derech Levisha, certainly. I'll leave it to Rabbi Yishmael. So in Hachinami, it's true, and the Rishonim are very bothered by the fact that the Gemara gives a different reason for this. The different reason is my time. Even the Omer Rabba Bar Vuna Chayav Adam LaMashmesh BeTefillin Kol Sha'a V'Sha'a. You cannot wear tefillin and forget that you're wearing tefillin, because your chayav, the whole point of tefillin is to be conscious. How can you wear tefillin and forget you're wearing tefillin? That's ridiculous. So you are chayav to constantly touch your tefillin, to think about your tefillin. That's a kavachomer mitzitz. The Kohen Gadol wears a tzitz. And how many times is the Shem Hashem written in the tzitz? Once. Kodesh Lashem. What does the Torah say over there? Vaya'am mitzchot tamid. Always on his forehead. What do you mean always on his forehead? When he goes to the bathroom, always on his forehead. What does always on his forehead mean? He goes to sleep, always on his forehead. Ella, what's the meaning of tamid? That when it's on your forehead, it is there permanently. Meaning you're aware of it. Shlo yasir ba'atomi menem. So tefillin that has so many shemot Hashem written in it. Sheish b'maskarot harbei, that is on your forehead just like the tzitz. Alakach kama v'kama. Obviously you can't forget that you're wearing tefillin. So what's the chashash? Hilkach mitkar dachir. What, this is similar to walking around with a slide rule in your ear. This is completely different. A slide rule you can forget. But the feeling you can't forget. And the question is, of course, why do we need to come on to that? We should come on to saying that it would only be Gzera like Gzera anyway. So some of the Rishonim Taina, but since over here, it's Somach L'Chashech, and your Derech has to always be wearing it, it's almost a Vaday that you're going to wear it. Others say that the Indian over here is we want to make this Ali B'Dekuli Alma, even if you hold Karmeli Disaster, like Abaye, and there's no problem with Gzera L'Gzera. We mean it's safe in Ali B'Dekuli Alma. What do you have to get into a problem for? You want to be machmir, not to carry. So then you'd think you couldn't wear your tefillin. No, your tefillin you can wear. Listen.
And therefore, to remember to take it off before?
Yeah, therefore, you're not going
to... Or therefore, then we'll wear it into Shabbos, but
no,
not take it off.
No. Therefore, you will remember to take it. You're not going to forget that you're wearing tefillin the way you'd forget that you're carrying your slide. Muktzah is not if you're wearing it. If you're wearing it, it's not muktzah by definition. You set it aside not to wear it, then it's muktzah. Muktzah means set aside. Fine. Okay, beautiful. General Halacha, Tanya, Hananya, Omer, Chayav, Adam, L'mashmesh, Bibido, Erev Shabbat, everybody should go through his pockets. Im Chashecha has, it's getting dark, because that way you won't come to be carrying your wallet or whatever. Omer of Yosef, a brilliant and important halakha for Shabbat. Everyone please remember that. Hilchata Rabati, the Shabbat. Some cynics say, there's lots of halakhas for Shabbos, leave me alone. Lo yefale et kilav. And then the next thing we have in the Mishnah, which was very unclear. Lo yefale et kilav. Velo yikre lo aron there. Is that all one thing? Lo yefale, remember once upon a time, not very long ago, people walked around with lice all the time. There was no way to get rid of lice. So what you did was, is you went through your clothes every once in a while when things were getting a little too itchy, and you would kill the lice, you would throw out the lice, you would be mimolel the lice, or you rub them between your finger and throw them away. Some learn, Tosfos learns over here, that when we're talking about the kina, we're talking about fleas, not lice. It's one of the shitot of Tosfos for Joseph Merlin's. Tosfos is bitterly against the Shita, for many reasons, not only the language, but because of the question of whether you would be chayev for killing it on Shabbat. Remember that the difference in the Gemara between kinim and, let's say, mosquito, is that kinim are spontaneously generated, and mosquitoes actually reproduce. The question of whether they're really spontaneously generated or not, obviously, is irrelevant, as it always is in halacha, because halacha is only interested in how a primitive human being understands his experiences in the world. So he doesn't consider a louse to be alive in the sense that other things are alive. Masha Inkin, fleas, everybody sees, are not spontaneously generated. Truth is, of course, people believe that fleas were spontaneously generated for many years. So, in any event, as we'll see, the difference... The reason over here that we're getting into the nafkamina between these things and whether there's bechlawa, possible heter could there be to come close to killing something on Shabbat is because even if I kill it on Shabbat, it wouldn't really be a problem if it doesn't sexually reproduce. And therefore, the Gemara taking this for granted that it does not sexually reproduce and nobody gives a hang whether it does or doesn't in reality, and stop worrying your little head about it. Although there are some achronim who say, well, now that it's obvious that they do sexually reproduce, we shouldn't be allowed to kill them on Shabbos, etc., etc. Almost all the poskim say it's really unimportant. So, the question over here is, how do we read the words in the Mishnah? Is this all one thing? Lo yefalet kelav lo oraner. Velo yigrala or aner, because you need to be able to see well, and therefore you may adjust the flame. Well, lo yifalet kelav, full stop. Then lo yigrala or aner, and why lo yifalet kelav? Because you may end up killing it. You're not allowed to kill it. That's our question. Hey boy, lo yifalet kelav. This is even beyond. Forget about lo aner, because you may end up killing it. So you'll say, what's the big deal if you kill it? Because then it would be going a little Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Eliezer does not hold the difference between killing something like a kina or killing something else. Ha-horeg kina b'Shabbat, according to him, is you squash a louse on Shabbat. Kilo horeg gamal. You might as well have shot a camel. It's exactly the same. So that would be one iser. V'lo yikre lo aner, that's a different question. That's only in the nighttime, obviously, because shemayate. You may come to bend the flame in the candle, and because of that, you cannot be nikshal. We have to be careful. Or maybe both of them were Shemayata. Don't be Mechalet Kelav, and don't be Koreh. Both of them are on there, but we don't really worry about the problem of killing Akiva.
Why is he worried?
Because he knows there's no difference between various life forms, right? Toshma, ain't Pauline, the ain't Koreh, or on there, but go to the bride. The bride seems to make it very clear. I mean, Mara says that, why is that very clear? Why is that the same as the Mishnah? Ain't pulling, full stop. Ain't going lower on there. Now, Stasis explains, first of all, brightot are usually less ambiguous. Therefore, if the brightot doesn't make it very clear, we're talking about two different things. It must be that it's one thing. Furthermore, the brightot sounds much more like a series. Ain't pulling, ain't korin. But when you're talking about veloye thalev kelav, veloye krel are on there, that does not sound like a series. So the male of the Maksha thought this was enough of a raya. Nonetheless, the Gemara is docha by saying, why is this better than the Mishnah? Yalima mimatniti. Okay, let's try this. Right, Tashma. Ein tolin lo'or haner. Vein korin lo'or haner. So there makes it very, very clear. Both of them, unambiguously, are a problem of perhaps being mavir the Eish on Shabbat, not a problem of killing bugs. Elu min ha-halakot she'amruba aliyat Hananya, ben Chizkiya, ben Garon, Shema mina, these are some of those halakot, some of the gezerot that were made, we're going to see more later, and that's clear-cut raya. Both of them, Tarvayu, are Shema Yateh, Shema mina, Q.E.D. This, you should know, is only a function of reading. Even to look closely at what's in the closet, and lafchin ben bigdole bigdei ishto, is also aser. Oh, my Rav, but that's for these effeminate people in Mechuzah. You know, Rav hated the people in Mechuzah. It was his town. He always has something horrible to say about the name Mechuzah. So these people in Mechuzah, they never do a stitch of work in their life. They sit there. Of course, it's all unisex. How are you going to know the difference between that beggar and this beggar? Bunch of madmen. But normal people, Bnei Chaklita, they're working. Maybe you think the men's begotten look like women's begotten. They're made a yadiyah. You don't have to be ma'ayin in the beggar. Of course, you can use a candle to see the difference. And even Bnei Mechuzah Namilo Amr, it's only the old fat slobs. They look like old ladies. Old ladies look like old men. They're all the same as king. But the Yeladot, the youngsters, they still look like women, you know. Mida Yadi. Tan Rabbana. Ein Polin Bershut Rabbi. Forget about Shabbat. You never look through your clothing for bugs. It's disgusting in public. And that's Bnei HaKavod. You don't do things like that. Kayot Sebo, I'm a Rabbi Yehuda, or some say Rabbi Nechemya. You do not use emetics in Rishus HaRabim. Ain't I've seen Afik Toizin Rishus HaRabim, even though the Romans may think it's very polite to go vomiting and having their little vomitous containers so that they can eat more piggishly, which is what they used to do. But that is considered to be a violation of common derech eretz. Bnei HaKavod. Tan Rabbanan, generally speaking, I'm a Faleh. Et kelav. If you're going to do the pilui, then you don't have a problem with on air. The thing to do is be careful not to kill it on Shabbos. And what you do is your molel, you rub them between your fingers, which knocks them out. Vizorek, then they won't come back, you know. You don't have to worry about the chashash. Maybe you will be horay because it's vizera la gezera, but don't kill them. Abashol on air. Notel vizorek? No. You can't rub them. Rub them's getting too close. I mean, you know when you rub, you really rub, you know? So better not to be molel. Just take them, throw them off your baguette, but don't roll them. Omar Ravuna halakha molel vizorek vizok vado afilo bechol. Squash these things. Ugh. Even bechol, the thing to do is to rub them between your fingers and throw them away, and that's much more mechubad than squishing things.
There's a medical team standing by, ready to resuscitate them and save them.
Of course. Rabba mikatealo, Rabba would squish them and kill them. This is even on Shabbos. Lechatchila. Rav Sheish is mikatealo. Rava wouldn't kill them straight up by squishing them, that's too disgusting, but he would drown them and would throw them into a kanya de maya. Rav Nachman says, No, that's not enough. I don't only want them dead. I want to hear them screaming. And he would tell Banate, Ketulin, kill them and let me hear their screams. Ashminali, Kala de Sakvati, I want to hear my enemies' screams as they die.
It's not the minute. I go to a place for Shabbos and say, there's not mosquitoes there. Usually.
No, mosquitoes, this is no heter whatsoever. Mosquitoes reproduce. You may think there's so many of them, they're just coming out of your body, but no. No, that's not Malila. It's flicking them away is not Malila. Not mosquitoes. Lice. That's what we're discussing, but I think our president arrived with some mysterious delay. Tanya, Reb Shimon ben Elazar Amir in Horginat Amachol b'Shabbat Ibrei Beit Shammai. According to Beit Shammai, you're not allowed to kill a louse. Let him listen. You're not allowed to kill a louse on Shabbos. According to Beit Hillel, you are allowed to kill a louse on Shabbos. Beit Hillel Matirin, V'chein, another nafkamina between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. And this is because they do not reproduce, so they don't look like they reproduce. They just grow out of dirt. These, can you imagine, the same people who would kill for believing that the earth could ever produce life forms out of dirt are perfectly willing to say, but in about 5 minutes, that would be fine. As long as it's not 5 billion years, it's all right. So anyway, another thing is, Reb Shimon Elazar says, Bishum Reb Shimon Gamliel, Ein mishatchin et hatinokot la'areis, v'lo et hatinoko lamdo sefer v'lalamdo umanut. You're not allowed to make a deal with creating a shidduch for a youngster, or creating a rebbe, or maybe a teacher to teach him how to be a car mechanic. You can't do that on Shabbat. You cannot be Menachem Avelim. The reason you can't do the first on Shabbat, because it says, you don't make business deals on Shabbat. And you're not Menachem Avelim, because the only way to be Menachem someone, of course, not nowadays, but the only real way to be Menachem someone is to feel his pain, not to say, I feel your pain. And since you're not supposed to feel pain on Shabbat, you're not beside yourself. Therefore, you're not Menachem Avelim. Vein mevakrim cholim b'Shabbat. You don't go to be mevakra chole, because there too, it would be painful. Plus, over there, you have a different issue. The issue is of tefillah on Shabbat for personal requirements, and that tzaka, you're not allowed to do that tefillah, and the ikar of biker cholim is to be mitvalel for them, mitzad adin. In all of the above cases, Beit Hillel or Matirin, because Beit Hillel say there's no problem making business deals that are for the sake of a mitzvah. And obviously teaching your son to be a car mechanic is a mitzvah, and therefore Kosher can send them to school, and therefore you can make these kind of deals on Shabbat, and we'll see the way in which it would be mutter to be Mevaker Chola and so on, even on Shabbat. He asked him, what do you do if you're Bevaker Chola like Beit Hillel? And Yechnas Bevakera Chola, what do you do? You say, Shabbati milis ok, Rufua Krova Lava, look, I can't pray for you, but let's just wait for the Rufua, which is surely on its way. Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi Meir says, what you say is, you know, Yechola Yishet Arachim, the source of Shabbos itself can bring Rachamim on a person. And if you, Chola, you enjoy your Shabbos anyway, despite the fact that you're ill, and don't think about the illness, try your best to be okay on Shabbat, that itself will be a schus. Rabbi Yudah Omer, Amakom Yerachim Alecha, God will have Rachamim on you and all Chola Yisrael. Rabbi Yudah says, no, not on, but rather, the Toch is what you're supposed to say. Amakom Yerachim Alecha, B'toch Chola Yisrael. Now, Tosfos has a very serious problem with this, because according to Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, there is no point in ever davening for anybody, because davening doesn't do anything, according to them. Since Rabbi Meir paskins and Rabbi Yehuda paskins that the gezar din of a person is nechtam, according to Rabbi Meir and Yom Kippur, according to Rabbi Yehuda, each thing at its time, as we do, you know, sukkahs and namayim and so on. So basically, if the guy's going to die, he's going to die. You know, why are you praying? So what's the time? So Tosfos has a brilliant answer. It's talking about Shabbat Shuvah between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Of course, that's a little far-fetched. So Tosfos suggests that there is another way to make it work out. The other way to make it work out is that it would be going on Libra Yitzchak. And he holds that you can be Yofet Sa'akal Adam Ben Lifnei Gzardin, Ben Lachar Gzardin, and therefore, even if there is a Gzardin, always a person should be Mitzpalel, and therefore there would be a reason to pray for a Chola no matter what, even according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Of course, according to Rabbi Yossi, it works out fine. Rabbi Yossi says, V'ramokim Yerachim, that's because Rabbi Yossi holds that a person is Nidain B'chol Yom, and since B'chol Yom you're being Mitzpalel, that the Din should be Yotze L'tova. And who is Rabbi Chanina going to, who says if someone has for shalom, has an ill person in his family, he should mix him at the same time together with Chole Yisrael? That's going on Rabbi Yossi, betoch. Betoch means mixed with it. The other Rabbi Chanina, you should know that Bekoshi, he tiru l'nachem avein v'levaker cholim b'shabbat. The Rabbanan had a very difficult time allowing you to do this because of the fact that it causes you pain, but for the need of others, we're moderate, but be careful not to get into it too much. Oh, I skipped one, I'm sorry. And it's an important one. It's Shivna Ish Yerushalayim. When he would go in, he would say, Shalom. That's all. B'yitziyato, he would say, Shabbati milizog, Rufu'ak rovalavo, Rachamav mirubim, and he would add, take out the word vov. Shivtu b'shalom, have a good Shabbos, everything will be okay. Now, Tosfos is very bothered by how there could have been Shivna in Yerushalayim, since no self-respecting mother would ever call a child Shivna, because we don't give the names of Rishayim to people, and Shivna was the guy who wanted to turn in Yerushalayim, make a deal, wanted to fight against Chizkiyo HaMelech, who was a vegetarian, and he thought that was inappropriate for a Melech. He wanted to follow Pekach ben Remalio, who ate like a slob, which is the way a big king is supposed to be. Look at some of these Rebbes, if you weigh less than 500 pounds, must be that you're not a real Rebbe. So the Malachim are supposed to be, you know, real people. Anyway, so why would we call somebody Shivna? Therefore, it changes the gears to Shachna. However, others, and Tosfos himself brings, that's crazy. I mean, if you tell me if there's an Avram who's a bad guy, we'll stop calling anybody Avram? There wasn't only one Shivna in Tanakh, there are two Shivnas. So there's Shivna Sofer, this is the Shivna Sharalabayit. Those are two people, so why wouldn't it be Shivna? Nah, must be Shivna. Okay, let's go back to where we were at. So it says Rabbi Barbara Chanake Avayazina Batwe to Rabbi Elazar Lishila B'Pticha, when we would go to be finding out how Achola was feeling on Shabbat, which is Bikur Cholim. Zimin Amar, sometimes he would say in Hebrew, HaMakom Yefak Decha L'Shalom, God should be pokeed you with peace. And Zimnin Amar, sometimes if the person didn't speak Hebrew and he spoke the vernacular, which was Aramaic, he would say, Rachmana Yatkir Ndicha, which is Zikaron, who should remember you, L'Shalom. Ask the Gemara, how could he possibly have spoken in Aramaic to say words of Tefillah? Hey, the Avidok, the Omer of Yudal Olam, Yishal Adam Tzrachav, B'Loshon Aram, he never prayed in Aramaic. If you pray in Aramaic, the Malachi Asharei to bring your tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu refuse to acknowledge this tefillah. They don't understand Aramaic, and therefore they don't know what this is all about. Ask Tosfos, what the heck? I mean, they don't understand Aramaic. First of all, what about Gavriel, who came and taught 70 Lashonas to Yosef? You don't get 70 unless you include Aramaic. Tosfos, well, Gavriel's different. He's a language expert. But we're talking about the standard Malachi Asharei. But I don't understand, says Tosfos. I thought Malachi Asharei don't really speak language. They just understand what you're thinking. So what's the difference what you're thinking it in? I don't know. The Rosh explains the obvious pshat, which is, Ein Malachi Asharei Makirin means we refuse to acknowledge this disgusting, bastardized Palestinian language. That's the point. They sound like a bunch of orcs, and we're not going to talk that language. So any Makir is like Rebbe told Rebbe, I don't know you. I don't know you. The same thing over here. Malachi Asharei is do not Makir. I do not acknowledge, is the way we would say. That's Bechor. Ben Asnoa Yakir. Yakir, you have to acknowledge, not just to understand. And the reason for this is because Aramaic indeed is a bastardization of Lashon HaKodesh. That's the point. So we have another language with Mela. You're speaking over here the same words, the same roots. So many things similar. You're going to flip the letters. Instead of saying Zecher, you'll say Deker. I mean, come on. That's not a language. Answers the Gemara, because over here it's a Cholet. And the same thing is true of a Tzibur. A Cholet, the Shekhinah is directly here. You're not talking to any Malachim. You're talking to the Lord. How do we know that the Shekhinah personally nourishes the Choleh through his illness? On his sickbed, God is serving him. You go in to visit someone in the hospital. Do not sit on the bed. Do not sit, it should say, al shrafraf on a high chair. Do not sit b'mokom gavoa. Wrap yourself up b'kavod in your talit and sit lower than him. Yoshev lefanav. Mipnei sheshchina lema'ala mirashotav shecholeh. The Shekhinah is right there above his head. Shinemar Hashem yisa'adenu al eretz divai. And therefore, when you speak, you can speak in any darn language you please. Yomer rov, amar rov, minayin shekadosh baruch hu, zanat hakoleh. Shinemar Hashem yisa'adenu al eretz divai. V'lo yikra la'or aner. Amar rabba, don't think that this Gezerah means, practically, if you are in an area where you may be able to adjust the Ner. It's a straight-out, low-plug Gezerah. Do not read L'Or HaNer, period. Even if that Or HaNer is a filu gavoa shtei komot, it's twice as high as you are. Komot doesn't mean diutot, meaning stories of a building. Komot means two of your own heights. For that matter, even if it would be shtei marda'ot, marda'ot was a way which was the very normal, typical way of measuring things. It would be like the way we would say today, we want to measure astronomically, you know, put a quarter in front, hold a quarter at arm's length and see how far the moon is above. In those days, they would talk about how high is the moon. Mardat, shtei mardot, three mardot. So the mardat was something that you used for the animal. It's mardat. And because of that, it was something that everybody would usually hold in their hand. And therefore, it was a way of measuring. So, Shtemar Da'ot, which is even taller than two of your komot, and even, I don't care, you know what, I don't care if it's a 10-story building, and you have the Nair on the 10th floor, and you are in the lobby in which the 10th floors go straight up above you, with those beautiful elevators and the glass around the side, you know. I don't care. You still can't read Lahr HaNeir, even though there's ain't no way you're going to be able to get up there to adjust the light. Lo Yikra. Now, ask the Lord, but it says, Lo Yikra. You should not read. It's about one person can read. Mash, but two people can read Lahr HaNeir. The problem is, Atrei Shapritom, he doesn't say in the Braita, Lo Echad Velo Shnayim. Look, if two guys are curled up with a book, you know, nobody's going to notice what the other guy's doing. They're curled up in their own book. They might as well be on different planets. But if two people are reading together, you know, so then you'll notice if the other guy is, hey, what are you doing? Oh, sorry. So then basically you got a shomer there. If you're talking about like a big thing that's surrounded by wicks, then you keep your distance, then you don't really see what the other guy's doing. Then I feel a sarabni adamasur. Omar Rabbi, im adam chashuvu, if you are the type of person who would never go and adjust the candle anyway, the valet does that. You don't get your pretty little fingers dirty. So then it would be mutar. Meitvei, lo yikra lo'or ner shemayateh, said the great God of Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, and he was certainly an adam chashuv, well, I can do that, and I will not be matah. Ani yikreva lo'ateh. Obviously, thinking what you were just saying. Pam achat kara, and one time there he was on Shabbat reading, and he found his fingers right next to the wick. I was almost matah. Bikesh la'atot. Amar, ah, kama gedolim divrei chachamim. Look how great the rabbis were. They realized this could happen to anybody. Shoyo omrim lo yikra lo'or ner. Rabbi Nassim says, yeah, that's the sanitized version. The unsanitized version is that he did matah. So, Karav Vihita, and then after Shabbat, he had to write down in his little notebook, Ani Yishmael ben Elisha, Kariti, Vihiteti Ner B'Shabbat, and I want to remember, I owe one big fat chatas to the Beis HaMikdash, and the Kishibane Beit HaMikdash, I'm going to bring a chatat shmina. Omra Baba, yeah, but that's because Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha may have been a great man, but he never acted like a great man. When it came to anything that had to do with learning, he treated himself like a regular 10-year-old. Of course, he would do his own thing. There was no such thing as chashivas that he would act. So he's like a regular guy. That doesn't prove that there's a problem with an adam chashiv. I say an adam chashiv is mutter. Tony Chada Shamash Bodeko Sotvikavrot Lahr HaNeir. One Mad Yomar says, one writer says, that a valet, a butler, is allowed to check the glasses that he's putting on the table, make sure there's no smudges on them, and so on. And he can do this even Lahr HaNeir, and we're not Chayashul Bimata. Vetanya Idach Lo Yivdok, but another writer says it's Osir. Explain that. And look, Kasha, Kam Shamash Kavua, Kam Shamash Sheinu Kavua. A Shamash who is there not as a manpower substitute, who really doesn't care, basically. What's the big deal? He won't like the way I set the table. It's a one-time job. He's not going to fire me in the middle of the meal. So he's not going to be that makbid. But the Shamash Kavua is very makbid. And therefore, because of that, he may be matan. Now, some of the Shem say just the opposite. Shamash Kavua is used to dealing with the issues. People put up with him. Shamash Eino Kavua doesn't mean manpower. It means that he's on trial. So over there, he's going to be extra special careful. Okay. Basically, it boils down to the same distinction. V'ibayitema. How about Shamash Kavua? If you hold the other chat, you'd have to say, how about Shamash Eino Kavua? V'lokash abedamash abedanafta. It depends whether we are using a neft lamp. That stinks. So you don't want to play with a neft lamp, because if you adjust the flame, ugh, anybody who's used those things knows how it's going to take 4 or 5 minutes before you can breathe again, just because you adjust, it always lets out some smoke, and it's awful. So he won't adjust the neft. Mashka, that's beautiful, it's good smelling oil, okay. That already, he will come maybe to be mata. By the way, this raises the question of the more modern neft lamps, which were an innovation. These were like the Primuses, where we used to pump them up with oxygen, which was something that was actually quite new around here in Eretz Yisrael, where nobody used electricity, but they on Shabbat, but they used to use these oxygenized kerosene lamps. And the question over there is, can you read, or is this called Shema Yatav? Can you read more on there? And it's interesting, the Chofetz Chaim, they had just come out with this innovation. Of course, it was before electricity in the Chofetz Chaim area. They just came out with this innovation at the time of the Chofetz Chaim. And he suggested that since this thing gives out a lot of light, and it's generally not meant to be fiddled with, so there wouldn't be a Gzeir Shemayata. It's because of that psak that we rely on using electricity, even with a dimmer switch on Shabbat. Because It's not, it gives a lot of light that it's something you just once, you don't sit there playing with it all the time. But he suggested to take a big sign and write Shabbos Kodesh on it and put it over the knob. And that way you'd remember. So at least you would, if you're somebody that does like to tinker, you'll remember not to tinker. Okay. Hiboilu. Shabbat she'inok, shamash she'inok kavua, or shamash kavua, or the other lashon. But how about if it's mashka, where it's a good smelling lamp? What about there? Omar Rav, it's mutter, even for mashka, halakha, but ain't morim ke. Rabbi Yirmiyah on there, Rabbi Yirmiyah says that even if it's, so in other words, even if it's mashka, the point is, generally speaking, he's not, even b'chol, he's not going to tinker so much. So we're not worried about it, but we don't tell people. I don't want people to be mezalzel the pesach. Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba Amar. No. Halacha morim ken. You can tell people it's fine. And actually, Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba, elder was mutter, once came to visit Rav Asi, and Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba's valet was checking and bodik lenura the shakar. There he was checking the glass before giving it to him, and they checked it with the fire and the candle, and it was the mashka. Amalei Devitas, Rav Asi's wife, said to him, look how respectfully a wife once used to speak to her husband, but sir doesn't do that. Marlo Avirachi, Omar La, so he said, Shafkates, okay, he holds like his Rebbe's Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba, he's allowed to do what Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba taught him, but don't you dare. Omer Bizira Aitanu the Omakalatsuli Tino Vloka Khoshim. It's not. Akofe Kiara Lakotel in Bishvilsha to Daha Kiara Reza Bhutan. In Bishvilsha Loyi Lakya Kotel Aidan Bhutan, Midami. Hatam Loka Boilulani Mashkin Kwala, Kabulala Kisa, Kabula Beziva, Holodanga, the Seifa, Are Vashikafa, Kadeshire Delafatoch, sorry, not Shikafa, Shinatana, Shire Delafatocha, Maya Manita Zinva Nitspin Inan Bhutan. Veshebetocha raise a bechiyutan. Apparently, Ella by a Rav Adam Ritavelo Kash, our Rabbi Yehuda who holds the dover that Malach Hashem Tzirkel Agufa is Chayev, and our Rabbi Shimon says it's Potter. Tony the Ben Rabbi Shmo Yotzei Adam Betefilin Berav Shabbat Im Chashecha. My time, Kiv and the Amar Rabba Baravon Chayav Adam Lamash Beish Betefilin Kol Shah V'Shah. Kavu Chomer Mitzi It's Matzi Chein Bo Elas Karach Adam Ratora Vayal Mitzchot Abid Mini Shlo Yaseh Datom Imenu. Tefillin, sheish b'maskrot harbei, alakat kama v'kama, hilkot mitkar dechiri lori, won't come out to carry it on Shabbat. Tanya Hanani omer, chayav adam l'mashmesh b'bigdor of Shabbat im chashecha, om Rav Yosef, brilliant, hilkot harabati l'Shabbat. Lo yefalet keilav yiboyle. Is that? Lo yefalet keilav, full stop. Meaning Shemayaro, it would be going like the river, yes. Tetanya orvileza, ori kina b'shabbat kilo ore gamal. And then a separate issue, loik ravaranir, because shemayata was all one thing. Tarvayer shemayata, tashva, ain polin, vein korin, loranir, right? No. Mialima mimatnitin, ain polin, stop. Vein korin, loranir, maybe, I don't know. Tashva, ain polin, loranir, vein korin, loranir, veilumina ala chorchen, amrube aliat, chananya ben chiskia, ben goron, anyway, shmamina tarvayu, shemayata shmamina. That's only b'nei machuza. Even there, nami lo amel lezikenot. Avol liyaladot mida yadia. Tana rabban. Ein polin brushot harabim b'pnei hakavod. Kayot b'yom harabim Yehuda v'amel harabim Nechemya. Ein osin afiktoizin brushot harabim b'pnei hakavod. Tana rabban and amefalet kilav on Shabbos molel v'zorek. B'vat shalom yarok. Abar shalom, better not. At no tov v'zorek. B'vat shalom yimlol. Om rabban aloha molel v'zorek v'zorek v'vod v'afil b'chol. Rabba skush. Rav Sheshet Skulish, Rav Shalila Lekade de Maya, Rav Nachman taught his daughters Chitun, Vashvinali Kala de Sanvati. Tan Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Ein Orgin et Hamacholet B'Shabbat Rabbi Shimai, Beit Hillel Matirin V'Chinei Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Ein Mishatchina the Tinokot Le'Areis, V'Lot the Tinok Le'Lam the Sefer, Or Le'Lam the Umanut, Ein Menachamim Avelin, Ein Mevakri Cholim B'Shabbat Rabbi Shimai, Beit Hillel Matirin. Tana Rabbanan Anichnas, Levaker et Achole Omer Shabbati, Miliz Ok, Rabbi Meir Omer Yecholahi Sheterachim. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer HaMakom Yerachem Alech V'al Cholei Yisrael. Yes, but no, HaMakom Yerachem Alech B'toch Cholei Yisrael. Shivna Yish Yerushalayim B'chnisato Omer Shalom U'b'yitziyato Omer Shabbat Yibelizok Rufa Krova Lavo Rachamav Merobim Shiftu B'shalom Kaman Azahadi Omer Rabbi Chanina Mishe Shochale B'toch Beito Tzorek Shiyarvenu B'toch Cholei Yisrael Kaman Lelik Rabbi Yossi V'omer Rabbi Chanina B'kosh Yitiru L'nachem Avelim ולבקר חולים בשבת. אמר רבא פרפחנה, כי אבי יזמינן בתרי דרבלוזת שלילה בתפיך, זינן אמר המקום יפקתך לשלום, in Hebrew, וזינן אמר רחבנה יד קירינך לשלום, in Aramaic. איך יעביד אחיו אמר רב יהודה, לעולם אל ישאל אדם צרכיו בלשון ארמי, ויאמר רב יוחק הלשון צרכיו בלשון ארמי, אין מלאכי אשר נזקקין לו, שאין מלאכי אשר מכירים בלשון ארמי. שיינה חולה שהשכינה אימו דיום רב כאן אמרה בידי ששכינה צועית את החולה שנבר השם יסעדנו על ארץ דווי תנין המיוחד נכנס לבקר את החולה לא יישב לא אגע בעמיתה ולא אגע בשרפרף ולא במקום גבוה אלא מתעטף ויושב לפניו כדי ששכינה למעלה מרשתיו של חולה שם השם יסעדנו על ארץ דווי ויום הרב אמר רבי מניין שהקדוש ברוך הוא זן את החולה שנבר השם יסעדנו על ארץ דווי לא יקרה לו נר ברמה אפילו גבוה שתי קומות אבן אדם אפילו שתי מרגעות which is even higher אפילו עשרה בתים this בתים means floors in a house זו אגבי זו it's all עשר okay but only אחד זה לא יקרה but שרי משמעות יש את מותר ותניה לא אחד ולא שניים אומר רבי אלא זה לא קשקה בעניין אחד קד בשני עניינים אומר רבונה ובמדורה אפילו עשרה בני אדם אז you don't see what the other guys are doing אומר רבי אם אדם חשוב ואותו יש מותר מית ולא יקרה לו ענר שמייתה אומר רבי ישבו בן אלישה אני אקרה ולא אתה פעם אחת קרה וביקש לעתות כמה גדולים דברי חכמים שהיו אומרים לא יקרה לו ענר רבי נתן אומר the uncensored version is קרה ואיתה וכתב הפנקסו אני ישבו בן אלישה קריתי ואיתיתי נר בשבת לכשהיא בנה בית המקדש אבי חטאת שמינה אומר רבי אבא זה שאני רבי ישבו בן אלישה הולו משים עצמו דברי תורה כעדיות תוני חודה שמע שפודי כוסות וכערות לא ענר ותעני לך לא יבדוק לא אני לא קשה, כאן משמש קבוע, כאן משמש שאינו קבוע. מי בא איתם אהבה בשמש קבוע ולא קשה, או בנמשך, או בנפתא. מי בא אלו, שמש שאינו קבוע בנמשך, מהו? אומר רב הלכה ואין מורים כן, רבי אמר ברב אומר הלכה ואין מורים כן, רבי אמר ברב איקלו ורבסי קם שם מקובד אקלנו לשרגה, אומר לביתו, מה לא אביד אחי, אומר לשבקי, כרבי ספיר אליי.
So we're holding today Motzei Shabbos Kedesh Asim Ve'achad Yamim Ha'Omer Amav Yud Beis. We're right smack bang in the middle of the sugya about the Zav who is wearing the kit shel Zav. The question was, why is it that the kit shel Zav would be begotten? So first we tried saying that it's enough to, that we brought two brides, actually we tried to say that maybe there's a difference whether it's a Zav Bal Shtei Riyot or Shalosh Riyot, before that doesn't make any sense, because we still need it for Svira, and then we said, well, maybe it's the same day, and basically we came down to the question of, look, the guy's wearing this also not to get his clothing dirty, so why isn't that enough of a reason to watch it as something that's choshev to be motzi? That's basically what we're holding. We tried answering it Friday, right smack bang in the middle of the sugya, by saying that the implication is that if you're wearing, you're carrying something which is there for the sole purpose of preventing your body from, or your clothing from getting dirty, then it's not considered to be a real chutzah, because it's not chashuv, it's sort of a bottle.
What's
that?
Is it a clothing?
No, this is not called levush because it's something that's not really on you, it falls off easily, even though it's a kiss, it falls off easily, and it's also not, I mean, there's a lot of, it's interesting that you raised the issue, a lot of discussion about women's sanitary napkins, especially in the days in which they used to have these units to clip them on and so on, and didn't have, you know, they have nowadays to stick on things and so on. And this is all, there's all kinds of trials that maybe actually that would be considered to be levisha, which we'll discuss because of other issues. There's more for their bodies as well. Shonen discussed sanitary napkins. So some of the issues over there would be to prevent the dam from being on the goof. That's more similar to the lesion. I take it over here to the kinofuk to godim, particularly. And that wouldn't be considered to be derech malguf. So it's really to save your begodim. Actually, there's a lot of discussion about things like rain hats. There's rain hats, but they're shaped in the same shape as Beged itself. And many hold, so the motion was very mocked, very much against it. He held it was pure tzilek tinuf, it's a rain hat. It goes on top of the hat, right. But a lot of the posting here at Yisrael were makel on it. Felt that it was, because it's shaped like the hat itself, it becomes now bottle to the mal version. It's part of it a little bit longer. Of course, it's not that they have to remove it and carry it around. But again, there's the other problem with Seiris, but maybe you'll take it off. The halakha is Rabin. But here we're certainly talking about itzule, a small area of the beged where it's not going to be bottle to the beged. It would be carrying, except for the fact that carrying needs a shear. So never the thing that you're carrying does not have a shear. You're not chayav. So over here, the Zav carried this case, apparently, because the only reason that he's carrying this around is to prevent his clothes from getting stained. So it's not considered to be a real chutzah. And we tried to compare that, a very poor comparison, we tried to compare that to a case where you take a pot, turn it upside down on top of a wall, in order to protect the wall from a rain that's falling on it, or a gutter that's being emptied on that area, so you're trying to splatter the water elsewhere. And over there it says, these are the top words on the place. So if your intent is to prevent the wall from being wet, it's not considered to be the chiyutan. And you'll recall that chiyutan means that water, or any of the other mashkin, that originally come, shalola ratzon, do not fall on the fruit, or on the vegetables, or grain, in order to be makshir, liratzon, then they will not be makshir those things at all, and they will not be makabotun, if something that touches them. So over here, if any place along the line there was a desire to have these mashkin, then that's considered to be chiyutan, even though you didn't necessarily want the peirot to be wet with these mashkin. Now over here it says in the Mishnah that if you put a pot down upside down because you're not collecting the water, then the water is only splattering off. Clearly, it doesn't have the chashikut of kiyutan. Therefore, the same thing should be true over here, the Gemara is suggesting, in that the kis of the zav is only there in order to prevent his clothes from getting wet, the same way that over here the upside down pot is preventing the wall from getting wet. But the obvious problem in that is midami. Hatam lo kabaylu lahani mashkin klal hacha kabaylu lahai kis. The Kabuli Beziv. It's a little bit an absurd comparison if you think about it. Because we're not interested in defining the relationship to the pot. We're interested in defining the relationship to the water that's falling on the pot. We're not discussing the equivalent in this case would be to discuss the Zivot, and we're discussing the Kis. And we're discussing the pot. Now, there the issue over there was what? Whether these type of liquids are considered to be desirable. So you put a pot upside down, you're sure it's not desirable. What in the world does that have to do with carrying a kishel zav where you know you need the kis? What's the difference? We're not interested in what purpose the kis is serving. It's not that the itzule tinof doesn't make the pot as chashev, it means that this water isn't loratzon. So you're telling me, so the guy would rather not be a zav. Thank you very much. I needed a riot for that. But that's not what we're trying to prove. We know that you need the kis. How do you show from here that something that serves a purpose of keeping your clothing unstained is not considered to be a meaningful hotzah? Where do you get that from? As a matter of fact, it's such a horrible comparison that if you insist on comparing it on some level, and even that is very loose, but the truth is we're doing it only because of its ultimate impact, as we'll see in a moment. But if you insist on comparing it to the din of Heksha's Royan, and you yourself just quoted a mission that's the height of sophistry, not to quote the end of the mission. The end of the Mishnah talks about a case where you didn't put the pot upside down. You put it right side up. And over there, the water was flowing into the pot. Now that's very similar to the kishel zav. And over there, the law is that the water is b'chiyuta. So now you can prove the opposite. Obviously, it's also a loose comparison. But certainly it means that the idea of itzulei tinof is not per se not a useful and meaningful collection of water. It's over here collected the water in the pot. You may not have desired to collect, but the fact is you didn't turn the pot upside down. You wanted to collect the water in order that it shouldn't make the kotel dirty. Fine. That's a good enough reason to be considered kiyutan. So, over here, again, obviously it's not the zivot that we care about, but the kis is needed, so it's not worse than the pot. And over here, the pot is even capable of making the mayim into kiyutan. So, I mean, the whole thing was ridiculous, your comparison. So let's continue on over here. Hello, Daniel of the Sefer. If you want to compare it at all to the Indian of Mashkin, then compare it to the last part of the Mishnah, where it says, Arevashin, that's not Kadesh Yerei Delef Vetocha, on the other hand. You take this Arevah, which is usually a long container, which is, as we all know, is what you need when the roof starts leaking around here. You can't just take a cup, because then it always starts leaking to the side of that cup. So you have to take something that's wide. It's an Arevah. And it's something that's used usually for, you know, mixing dough. And you put it on a wall for the purpose of catching the flow, and that flow is there also, because you don't want things to get wet. I mean, so maimani tazila nitzbin, water that spatters out of there, and water that falls over the top. Because once it fills up, always, invariably, you never get there in time to empty it before it fills up. So the water that fills over and falls down, that's not the mefitah. But shevet tolcha, that water which is inside of it, is mefitah. So there you go. And if that's the case, then the hotza'ah over here is also just as chashuv as this pot is, because I want that kiss to prevent my clothes from getting dirty. Ela abayev rabbatam b'chavayu, the real issue over here is a purely Shabbat issue, not a nazar, it's a general issue. Dam b'chavayu lo kashahar Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon. This is the first time that we're coming to discuss this issue, which is the question of a milacha she'inat zricha l'gufa. As if we have a machloket all over Shabbat about this issue. It's something that is unique to Shabbat, and it's zricha l'gufa. Because the issue in Shabbat of a melacha, of course, is that it's not only doing something, it's doing something melachat machshavah. It's doing something which has a particular creative end in mind. And that end is defined by the way in which it's defined in the Mishkan. So whatever would be the norm as it's done in the Mishkan, that's what the melacha is. You could do that same melacha for another purpose, and then it's not the melacha. So you may have kibui in the Mishkan as part of the making of ptilot, but if you put out a lamp in front of a cholel, that's not kibui in order to make ptilot. That's kibui in order to turn off a light. That wasn't in the Mishkan. So that's considered to be a melacha she'inat zricha l'gufa. I don't need it for the purpose in which it was, for which it was made in the Mishkan.
Is that a kibui?
Exactly. Correct. Same idea. So the question over here is, if you hold I must tell you that there's a significant machloket Rashi and Tosafot in general about melacha she'inat zricha l'gufa. The classic case of the machloket Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon is, and by the way, here everybody agrees it's asur, this min rabbanan. It's as according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's in d'oraita. Definitely, the isur is involved. So the question over here, whether we would be matur because of the tzorech hazav, but there's always, in terms of melacha she'inat zricha l'gufa, we don't say it's mutar. But there's a big machloket. The classic case is somebody carries out the body on Shabbat. Someone died. Someone dies in the house. They carry the body out. Rashi's explanation why that's considered to be a hotzah she'inat zricha l'gufa is because, well, as far as you're concerned, you'd rather the guy wouldn't die. In other words, you have no interest. You have no interest in dealing with a body at all. And therefore, it's actually a zricha l'gufa. We're zricha l'gufa. This is what you want. So now the question is, you're carrying it here, you're bringing it to something that you need. You certainly don't need a dead body. But now the same thing would be true of the zivah. I mean, why in the world would somebody want to be a zav? He doesn't want to be a zav in the first place. So you're saying you need to have the zivah for whatever reason, to count or to, or even if we go back to Sulei Mitino, I mean, that's not considered to be something that I desire. I don't want it, and therefore it's not zricha l'gufa. Tosfos later, much later in the Masechet, disagrees with that whole approach of Rashi in terms of hotza'ah. And that the question of whether you would want something initially is not part of the issue. The question is, what is the current situation? The current situation is you have a dead body. You need to get the dead body somewhere else. So the question is, do you need to get it out of here, or do you need to get it somewhere else? That may be a question of Malach Shein HaTzirich HaLaguf. In other words, a Hotzar was not done in the Mishkan in order to get something out of where it is. It was done in order to put something in the place where it's going. Okay, so maybe that's the question of the Malach Shein HaTzirich HaLaguf. Certainly, I have no tzarech in the Ziva at all. I'm simply trying to prevent it from the touching my begadim. There the shaila is, that it's not. I have no real interest in this case, which is only itself. And there the case, by the way, like a dead body, was the dead body was on a bed. It was the entire bed out. But the bed is bolted to the body. Whatever the thing is to the body is, by definition, what happens to the bed. Over here, the case is bolted to the Ziva.
The body was bolted to the bed?
No, because you have no interest in the bed at all. The bed is entirely secondary. Same thing is for over here. No interest really in the case. You're just interested in what it's doing for you in terms of the zivas. Since the zivas per se is not what you're interested in, so don't need to be no chiyuv on the case. So that's the machlokas over here. Ha Rabbi Yehuda, And our Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda says that if you have a Remalacha She'ein Sukhala Gufa, which over here you don't need the Zivot over here at all, that doesn't matter, nonetheless you're Chayim. Therefore it says over here that you're the Zav that is Motzi is Chayim. Rabbi Shimon would say you're Potter. Tony to the Rabbi Yishmael, you'd say Adam Bet Filim Berav Shabbat in Kashecha, my timer, even the Omer Rabba Baravuna, Chayav Adam the Mashmish Bet Filim Kol Shav Shahar, Kavachor Nitzitz. Matzit Shein Boel Azkara Chatam Rato Rabba Yal Mitzchot Tamid, meaning Tamid in the sense of Shalo Yasir Adato Mimenu, Tfilim Sheish Bebaskot Arei Alachat Kama Vekama, Yotok Mitzchot Tchirinuhu. Since the whole problem over here is walking out with something that you're liable to forget and continue to walk with it on Shabbat, it's not an issue in Tefillin, because Tefillin, we learn a Kavachomer from the Tzitz, where the Torah unnecessarily repeats the idea of Hayam Mitzchot, and it can't just be telling me where it belongs. There's a Tamid. No, we know it doesn't mean Tamid. I mean, the guy goes into the bathroom, he doesn't carry the Tzitz with him. He goes to sleep, he can't possibly come for any other Tzitz. So the idea over here is that it means that he's not allowed to be Mesiach Da'ato from the Tzitz. As long as he's conscious, he has to be thinking about that Tzitz. And the Tzitz only has one Shem Hashem on it. The Tefillin have many Shemot Hashem, all through the Parshiyot. So certainly, that which is on your head is meant to be in your consciousness. If the Tzitz is, for sure the Tefillin are. In that case, you're certainly not going to forget that you're wearing Tefillin, and so there's no chance that you're going to walk out with these Tefillin, end up carrying them on Shabbat.
I mean, both in Ekronik,
excellent question from our own Richie. Who is not asleep at the moment. I'll tell you when
he is.
When he's awake, it's such a pleasure. But you need a reminder every once in a while. No, that he actually is conscious at times.
Here's a book for Nocturnal Daffy.
Maybe that's it. Might have something to do with the long Shabbat after the map. I don't know. But in any event, as Richie's asking, mashma, that in principle there wouldn't be for this, that we would make a gezerah. But the problem is, wearing tefillin on Shabbat is certainly considered to be derech levisha, and therefore, you wouldn't be chayav anyway. So why do we need this svara? We should say, you could certainly wear your tefillin, because even if you're wearing your tefillin, forget that you're wearing your tefillin, and you wouldn't be doing anything so terrible carrying your tefillin on Shabbat, because it's always called derech levisha. The Rishonim are troubled very much by this question of riches. And there's a number of different approaches. One approach is that our concern is that you will carry it in your hand, because if since tefillin is something that it's a real fear for the take off. So the taking off may indeed lead you to hold it in your hand. If you remember at one point, at Shabbos, take off my tefillin, then you'll end up walking with them. I can put them on again and then take them off again. And so in the middle, we treat it as if it's a real hotzah. Others learn that it's avada. It's not like a gezeira. He's definitely good. If it wouldn't be this, he would definitely be carrying his tefillin. Because nobody takes off your tefillin unless you really have to. You wouldn't tell him you have to take off your tefillin, so then for sure you would end up doing it. The other things, it's a chashash b'yahoma. Tefillin is a hassle. Taking off your tefillin is a hassle. Lo yifale et kila. Now the next case that we had in the Mishnah was, as we pointed out, a little bit unclear. Was it lo yifale et kila ve lo yikrel oraner?
Yeah,
oh, okay, that's
fair.
Right.
What happened with the Sabaya Rabba problem? We just sort of left it.
It wasn't a problem. He answered it.
Which is
the two brightot are reflected in Rashida. It was a machloka. Yeah, he was asking questions. We answered all the questions. Okay. Abaye still insists that there are cases where we don't view it as gzera l'gzera. We're willing to take what appears to be gzera l'gzera. The whole gzera l'gzera, as I mentioned to you, there's a little shadow of a machloka between gzera l'gzera, where the issue is you may come to do something wrong, and gzera l'gzera, which comes from a definition of what particular type of thing is. Such as the case of karmelik, you may not be afraid that you'll end up bringing your drink into the karmelik, because who cares even if you would. But the other way of looking at it is, once we create another reshut, then all of the hagdarot in that reshut are the same as in any other reshut, so we don't even view it as exactly the same. Okay. But anyway, getting back over here, sorry, I skipped Tanya. A person should always check his bag, either in our terms, because we have pockets sewn into the garden. In their terms, they would wrap around, belt or something around things. So it's Rashi said, shouldn't be called on something. And thereby inadvertently carry it out. On Rav Yosef, Hilchatar Rabbi Shabbat. That is a major, excellent way of making sure that you don't get into trouble on Shabbat, because that's the first thing that always happens to everybody. Lo yifala et kilav. The next piece of the Mishnah was really vague, because it says, Velo yikrava oraner. Is that all supposed to be read together? Lo yifala et kilav. Veloitra, because you are an Arab, you may come to turn up the fire. Or is it two different issues? Lo yafalet kelav, meaning in general, anytime on Shabbos, even in the daytime. Because if you end up taking a louse off of a piece of clothing, you're going to have a hard time not killing that louse, that lousy louse. So, of course, you're going to want to kill the louse. So, but is there anything wrong with killing a louse on Shabbos? That's Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Eliezer, Tanyam Rebbe Eliezer. Ha-horei kina b'shabbat, ki lo-horei gamal. There's no difference in the size. I mean, a kina, a gamal, it's all the same. It says that you're not allowed, when we know that one of the things that needed to be done in the Mishkan from the Orot Elim Odamim is they had to shech these creatures. So what we think, just because it's big, I mean, that's the issue. And the kina is little, therefore it should be butter. It's all netilat neshama, therefore we don't allow you to put yourself in a position where you may end up killing something, anything. And then there's a separate issue, v'lo yikra lo on there, that being, don't read.
It's not considered seder here.
Seder? It's considered to be nitzah, don't read. It's sitting there waiting for you. As a matter of fact, if anybody's been sad anyone, it's been sad me. Shema yateh. And the other question is over here, in other words, maybe you'll turn up the lamp. Remember, the ner does not mean what we call a ner. They didn't have those things. They had lamps. Lamps had liquid in it, and that liquid you could turn up the wick or turn it down, and thereby get a brighter light. You have to adjust the light quite often. And as it would burn, you constantly need to adjust it. We'll talk about the implications of that. Odilma tavar shemayata, or maybe there's nothing wrong with killing a louse, but there's something wrong with finding a louse. Now, why would there be nothing wrong with killing a louse? Because if you don't know the Rebbe Eliezer, then we take Orot Elim Odamim to be a model for not taking Netilat Neshama only for sexual reproducing animals. But these kind of things, as everyone knows, they are self-generated, you know. I don't know what the people who don't believe in evolution do with that. But anyway, that was okay to believe in spontaneous generation, that's all right. Evolution, that's bad. Once you see mechanism, that's bad. But anyway, but because of the belief in spontaneous generation, and again, as we've pointed out innumerable times, halakha is not concerned with facts at all. It's concerned with the mode in which a person relates to this planet as a simple primitive being. And certainly nobody has ever seen a louse sexually reproduced. And there you go, which proves that they must be spontaneously generated. The truth is, there's a machlokes over here, by the way, what a kina is. The Pirush Rav Yosef, it does us. A number of other Rishonim say that this refers to fleas. It brings a raya that the Afar Haaretz turned into kinim in Eretz Mitzrayim, and it's fleas that you usually find coming up from the dirt, because mm-hmm. the other stuff comes from your body or your head. And it, but Tosfos brings a raya, he doesn't like that at all. He says, on the contrary, fleas do reproduce sexually. It's the kinim, what we call lice, that are always found on the body, and they must be generated from sweat and things like that.
But one of the things that it created that's a problem for kids is plain sand, for lice specifically.
For lice.
Getting sand in their hair as opposed to...
And there's lice in the sand, you're saying?
No, it creates, with the sweat and everything, that creates the environment for...
An environment, but we're talking about creating the thing, you know, a big difference.
Well, creating...
It will take a few hundred million years for that environment to actually develop. You mean?
One day to the next, I'm not kidding.
Right, okay. So in any event, the Shaila is, do we actually, it's mutter, to kill Akina on Shabbos? And the only question over here is that you're going to look at it in the light. You may turn up the light to get a better view. Or is it also to kill a kina on Shabbos if we can't look for a kina even in the daytime? So from our mission, it's not clear. Says the mission, okay. Says the Gemara, let's take a look at the Braita. Tashma. Ein polin ve'ein korin la'or haner. That sounds like it's all la'or haner. Now, wait a minute. Mi alima mi matnit. I don't understand. Why is that any stronger of a proof than the mission is? I can still read this. Ein polin, period. Vein korin la'or haner. I mean, you haven't proven anything from this Braita. Tosfos points out that the reason that we thought that it's certainly an indication is because generally Braitot are more definite because they're coming to expand on the Mishnah. And if it were two different issues, it would have said ein polin beyom vein korin la'or haner to make it clear. Furthermore, the flow of the language is much closer here to it being one thing. Ein korin vein polin la'or haner. But the way that you have it in the Mishnah, it's this whole long thing. Lo yifalev kelav. It doesn't flow directly into ain't believe, ain't korin. That sounds like so one thing. But the truth is, you can't prove it from here. Okay, let's see from the next braita. Tashma. Ain't believe, lo'oraner, ain't korin, lo'oraner. How about that? We're going to see a whole lot of interesting halachot that we were gozer all together in one place. These were some of those halachot. So Shema Minat Tarvayu, it's clear that both issues are focusing on something that requires good light. You can't use the light of a ner on Shabbat. Can you use the light of what we call a ner on Shabbat? Can you use a candle, a wax candle? Wax candles are non-adjustable, and therefore there should be no problem of Shema Yateh, because it's not going to do you any good to be Mateh.
Yes, you move.
That's not Yateh. That wasn't the Xerah, that's the second Xerah. Some do bring that, actually, including the Beit Yosef. In other words, there's other problems, aren't there? But a lot of the poskim say, well, you know, I mean, that's not the Xerah. You can't say because we said don't use a ner, therefore you found a good reason not to use it. Well, we call a ner. I mean, where do we see that your good reason was a gezerah? Don't make gezerahs just because they look nice. Make gezerahs because they were made in a minyan, and that's a gezerah. So to say, well, I can also think of a good reason not to use an electric light, you know, because you may turn it off if it bothers your eyes, whatever. I mean, you're going to make a new gezerah now, don't use a light because maybe turn it off. Indeed, the Chazon Ish held there was a general low plume about using artificial lighting on Shabbat. Nobody agreed with him. The Mishnah Brura is matir using power candles.
Artificial electric.
Because of a low plume. You know, when the real Charlotte came up, it became a major, not to read. Yeah. When it became a major issue was with the old Primus lights. The Primus was an amazing, you know, the Primus? You know, when they had them, they were very popular in Israel. So the campers still use a lot. You pump it up, and you have a very, very delicate mesh. You have to get it just right. It gives brilliant light. You can't fool with it. You can't touch. You touch the mesh, and it just completely disintegrates. You can't do anything with it. It's either working or it's not working. That's basically the idea. And there was a whole shayla. Is the din? Well, that was before they came up with the Neirot Shabbat that we have that are so well done. You know, the old Neirot Shabbat used to sputter, and it's really recent that they came into their own. I said, okay, again, there was a lot of questions over there, whether a ner is a ner is a ner, and it's all part of one takana. The fact is, those of you who recall how popular these were in Israel, will remember that even in the most religious shuls and so on, they used to read on Shabbat to the lights of the primus. Those people who wouldn't use Lashman on Shabbat would pump up a bunch of primuses, stick them up on top of it. We'll see that the distance, that isn't an issue. So they were matir the primus, certainly matir the Neirot Shabbat, although it's an interesting historical sidelight. There are those who report that even though the Mishnah Brura was matir using candles on Shabbat, and he would read indeed with candles on Shabbat, however, he made sure that somebody had his hands tied down, so he couldn't come to be matir. That was his own personal chumra, just in case. That's the Chabad's
time.
So you know, wrap a towel around it. Actually, it's a towel that they used to wrap around his hands. Okay, this is interesting. Okay, so, but Lamaisa Mishabura is matir using candles. That does come up very often. The lights on Shabbat and out. Candles still burning on the table. Can you read?
Wax candles, but not oil candles.
Well, certainly not. That's an air. Oil candles are in there. Okay. So apparently because it's Shema Yatra. Rav Yonah Rishwar says, Afilu lafkin ben bigdol lebeged lebigdei ishto. Even to look, I mean, you don't need an awful lot of light to be able to tell the difference between your clothes and your wife's. He says, Rabbi, that's only in Los Angeles. I mean, we know that Rabbi, what he thought about the people in Mechuzah. I mean, the people in Mechuzah, I mean, they don't do any work. They got to do this whole unisex stuff. And that, you know, they can't tell the difference. People who do their work, I mean, they work outdoors, they're in the fields and so on. The men and women clothing doesn't look the same at all. Even in B'nai Mechuzah, normally, L'Arm of the Zikainot. Bottom line is these men are fat slobs around here in Mufuza. So maybe the old women's clothing look the same, but the nice, sleek, young ladies, you'd never think a man could fit into one of those. And therefore, you can tell the difference. Ein polin v'reshut harabim. The truth is, by the way, I'm just putting this into modern terms. If you want to know the real styles in Mufuza, according to Rashi, it was very fluffy, big dresses for the young ones. And the simple dresses for the old ones is actually the other way around. But again, obviously it would depend on whatever location you're talking about. Some of them, Ein Polim Bershut Rabim, at no time, think about Shabbat. And it's disgusting. They go taking your clothes and looking through them for lice. Good Lord. רץ בפני הכבוד, כיוצא בה, אומר רבי יהודה ברמל רבי נחמיה, אין עושין אפיק תויזן ברשות הרבים מפני הכבוד. It was quite popular, as you know, in Roman times, to do a little vomit trick, you know, so you put some more room in. That was called an affectation.
What is
it? An emetic. Sticking your finger down your throat.
Orgies.
Orginess. Yeah, but don't throw up in Rishut HaRabim. Yeah. We do it nowadays, too, except now they hospitalize you for it. But unfortunately, this is not all that rare. Eating disorders. I can see you don't have any teenage girls lying around the house. But anyway, the gorging and the vomiting is unfortunately part of modern society as well. But they don't do it in Rishut HaRabim because they try to hide it. But in Rishut HaRabim, in those days, slobs would go ahead and vomit in Rishut HaRabim. You can't do that. Someone who is doing this checking of his begotten, so on Shabbos, he can take off the kinnah, mush it up a little bit, being careful not to kill it, wash it, just sort of disorient it, you know, get it good and dizzy, flip it around a couple of times, and make sure that you don't get back on me again, Buster.
And there's no one in itself.
But don't, we'll see about that in a moment. As long as you don't kill the thing, whereas Abishol says, notel v'zorik v'vachelo yimlol, you can take it off and throw it away, but you can't be molel, because if you're molel, you may actually come to kill it. Now Rashi says, apparently he holds like Rebbe Eliezer, that killing it would be an esediraisa, would be chayav v'chatz, therefore he makes the gezeira v'lo yimlol. Masha'inkin, the Tanakhama held that it's not a problem, because even if you kill it, it's not an isur, and therefore why should it just, again, this is the right way to do it, because it's first of all, even during the week it's disgusting, and on Shabbos, l'chatkhila, it's asur, but only min rabbana. Now, omer avuna halacha, molel v'zorek, v'zeu kvodo, l'afilu b'chol. Now, look, is on Shabbos, you should be molel, you can be molel, throw it, and that's the correct way to do it, even b'chol. Rabba mikatealu, whereas Rabba would squish them, and Rabba, Shavila Lakana, the Maya Rabba, would throw them in, they would drown them. And Reb Nachman told his daughters, listen, I want them dead, and I want to hear them screaming. I want to feel revenge, you hear me? So he said, k'tol and kill them, v'ashme'in li kala v'sanvati, let me hear the sounds of the screaming of my drowning enemies. I hate them.
It's on my weeping.
No, that's Shabbos. We've done even on Shabbos. If you would hold that, it would be that it's mutter because of the anything that was being mitzayir, you know, and so on. But lemaisa, Rashi learns it's makatei even on Shabbos. Tosis brings the Rivashi that it's only bechol, and it's going like Ravuna basically. But as Tosis says, we're so mech on Rashi to actually kill these things on Shabbos, and as long as they're bothering you, you should kill them. Now the question is this a raya? And this is very fascinating. What level of life raises the questions of Tsar Baalei Chayim?
I'm thinking mosquitoes.
Is this so,
as opposed to Rosa? Of course it goes. So here the question, actually, Reb Moshe has a big tshuva on this issue. He brings a raya from here, this Gemara, that there is no din of Tsar Baalei Chayim on insects. There's not enough of the developed mind, brain, to be self-aware of pain. It's just basically an automatic reaction, and therefore there's no inyan of being careful not to hurt them. However, he points out, you'll notice it says that he threw them into water. Why did he just smush them? So he says there's another question, which is the behavioral impact on a human being, in which even though these things might not feel pain, but the act, exactly, the inflicting a crushing blow on a Baal Chai desensitizes a human being, and therefore, wherever possible, it should be avoided. Some suggest, I didn't make the suggestion himself, it's interesting, some just don't even suggest, that maybe that's why it says v'zeh kibodah. Because why does it say, don't kill it, afilu b'chol? The Pashas are like, this question is disgusting. But no, maybe the point is, as a human being, it's your honor not to be the one to administer the death blow.
Not going to say the way about it.
So okay, that could be in order to teach the halacha.
What's
the difference? What's the
difference? Well, mice. Something you kill a fish when you get checked in.
No, there's not. What do you mean? There's no shaila about your right to inflict pain on an animal as part of your tracking.
long as you attempt to minimize that pain. But over here, why do you have to kill it? Just get rid of it. It's not going to bother you. No, we need to kill it.
Just getting even.
He was making a point that there's no Isser in this at all, and so I want to get even.
What about mosquitoes? Was the dinner shot as far as
no, mosquito isn't good as I. I mean, the mice, it's not. I mean, I can't say that there weren't times when people didn't believe that mosquitoes were generated in stale water and so on. Which, I mean, the Gemara definitely views mosquitoes as reproduced.
What about fishing for the boat? Would that be a bouncer or not?
Look, sheet is also no fun. The way in which we never find out how to fun.
You don't make sport. I mean, making sport of it.
You mean sport? Some sport fishing.
Oh no, you eat the fish. I'm saying, when you go to the fish store, they take nets. They don't necessarily put
the hook. You're talking about Badavka sport fishing.
Oh, don't you know? You say you're going there somewhere.
You certainly can't bring the riot from here. That's what I mean. These are much lower level of developed life than the fishes.
The fish or the fishermen.
Actually, I think we're going to need to deal with this.
Well, I'll just have a picture of the other, because there are guys like way up north in the middle of nowhere, and
we have a great place where we have a
sitting in a shack with a case of beer, where it's not cold enough, they got to drink beer as well.
We have a clear riot from the sukkah before.
It was fun, yeah.
No, which it says, Omed Lafourche is butter.
Omed
Lafourche?
Lafourche. I have common eye. Every time I throw out the rod, then it's my meal, it's for my sustenance.
Richie, I guarantee you have no problem. You've never caught a fish. Continues the good morning now. Next. So, sorry, no, we still have time. We should have been also there. In Horgina Tamara, Kolet B'Shabbat, Dibet Shemai, Ubet Yilel Matirin, V'chein Ayah Rabbi Shimon Ben Azar, Omer B'Shum Rabban Shimon Ben Gamliel, the same way you can't squash a bug, you can't be mashad of your kids. They're not really connected, though. You don't make a shidduch on Shabbos. The reason is because we know you're not allowed to do anything that can lead to writing any transaction. Nor can you hire a teacher on Shabbat, whether it's to teach him Torah, whether it's to teach him a profession. Nor you do nichum avelim or bikur kolim, all of which is true only on Yom Kippur Beit Shammai. The reason is because in the act of being Menachem Me'avel or Mevakeh D'Chole, you experience pain and you lose your own egg and joy of Shabbat because you empathize with the person that you're coming to.
There's no other meaning
to
Shabbat.
Sorry?
What do we
seem
to do with
Menachem Me'avel? We'll see. Let's see. Beit Hillel Matirin. All of the above, Beit Hillel is Matir. The Shiduch Mimitzo Heftech Ayidarshim Zvelo Kavtei Shammai. Since it's a mitzvah to teach your child either Torah or a career, and it's a mitzvah to marry off a child, there's no iser in going through the discussions that you need to make on the issue. And it's a chiyuv to be mevaker chayla and to be menachem avo. Now the truth is that it has become somehow not mekubal, as the recent person bring, to be menachem avo on Shabbat. But mi'ikaretin, this is the halach. What do you say to a chole on Shabbat? Normally, when the mevaker a chole, the din of bikur cholim is not an option. The din of bikur cholim is mechayev you to say a tefillah for the speedy recovery, to address a kodesh baruch hu and to be misfollowed for him. But you can't do that on Shabbat. So what do? You say Shabbati milis ok urifu akiro balavo. Look, I can't pray for you today, but for sure, you're going to feel better soon. Rabbi Meir Omer, Yecholagi Shetarachem. You could say to the Chole, Shabbat has powers. One of the powers of Shabbat is it can bring you Rachmei Shamayim if you respect the Shabbat. If you will honor the Shabbat and stop being sick, then you'll get better. So don't feel any pain today because it's Shabbat. It's a strong psychological component of the pain. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, as long as you don't address HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you make it a statement, there's no problem in saying Hamakom Yirachim Alecha V'al Kol Yisrael. You're not saying May God. You're saying God will have mercy upon you and on all the ill of Kol Yisrael. Rabbi Yosi says the correct way to say it is Hamakom Yirachim Alecha B'toch Kol Yisrael. It should always include an individual among the rest of Yisrael. Now here the question is whether we should darshan Shivna or Shachna. Shivna, as we know, character. He's an unsavory character in the time of Castillo. And because that does this, wonders, why would we call, I mean, you're not supposed to call people in the name after Rishayim. So he suggests maybe this is Shachna. We do find in the Gemara elsewhere in Seita, Shachna, Hillel, maybe this was Shachna, he's Rishayim. However, the other, the Re argues under Rabbeinu Tam and says, what is that supposed to mean? We're just going to find one guy that was a no-goodnik with that name, so therefore nobody can ever use that name again. And if some no-goodnik is called Avram, we stop calling Avram. I mean, what does that mean? And anyway, there were a number of different Shachnas, and he brings Raya from Sukkim, that we have the Maskir, and we have the Asher al-Abayit, the Sofer. I mean, it's not the same person. So what's the problem with having somebody with the name of Shachna, even afterwards? But anyway, now that we are wondering who said it, but whoever did say it, his suggestion was, B'knisato Omer Shalom, he would just say Shalom, as usual, when he came in. U'b'tziyato Omer Shabbati Nimezov, Rufuah Krova Lavo, V'rachamav Merubin, V'shiftu B'shalom, enjoy your Shabbos, don't be mixed on Shabbos, and everything will be okay. Come on, Adam Rebbe Chanina, Mishesh L'chole B'toch Beito, Tzarich She'arven B'toch Chole Yisrael. And according to whose Shita would we say of the above that you should always include your chola that you're praying for among the rest of Klal Yisrael's cholim? Come on, Rav Yossi, obviously, it was Rav Yossi who said, B'toch chola Yisrael. The Omer Rabbi Chanina, B'koshi, Yitiru L'nachim Avelim, U'levakar cholim B'Shabbat. The truth is, it wasn't so pashut. It was, we recognize that you're compromising your Shabbat in trying to help out other people's Shabbat, but nonetheless, we were matir that. And Omer Rabbi Barbachana, Ki havi aslinam batrei de Rabbi Elazar, B'shiyula b'pticha. When I would follow Rabbi Elazar around to be mevaker cholim, there were times in which he would say, "Hamakom yafakdecha l'shalom, v'zinim amarach mana yakirnech l'shlam." Depending apparently on whether the ill person understood Lashon HaKodesh or spoke only the vernacular, the Aramaic, he would either say "Hamakom yafakdecha l'shalom" in Hebrew, or he would say "Rachmana yakirnech l'shalom," which is the same thing in Aramaic. But the question is, now that's already a tefillah. God should. How do you say a tefillah in Lashon Arami? Never use Aramaic for asking something from our Kaddish Baruch Hu. Anybody who does that, the Malachi Asharet will not bring your tefillah up to the Lord. Malachi Asharet, they don't understand Aramaic. So he says, what the heck is that supposed to mean? I thought Malachim know what's in your mind, which by the way is not true necessarily. The Grub brings us the Machlokas, the Shas, and the Zohar as to whether Malachim are aware of human thoughts. But one way or the other, I mean, it's a little bit strange. Certainly Gabriel, he was the one who taught Shivim Lashon, which, why wouldn't he have taught also Aramaic? Many learned the Rush learning with Trinidad. Ein Makirin means they refuse to recognize. We do not grant recognition to Ein Makirin. We don't understand it. If you're such an idiot that you're so close to Lashon HaKodesh and insist on speaking this bastardized language of Aramaic instead of the real thing, we will not grant you any recognition. There you go. That's a Shaila. There's a Machlokas. It's not such a simple question. There is, in fact, a Machlokas as to whether this is Aramaic or Dafna because of the fact that it's so close to Lashon HaKodesh. It's interesting, the Rambam includes Arabic because of its similarity to Lashon HaKodesh. We're going to speak Arabic already. Why not go all the way? He has an interesting letter in which he talks about how he's sorry he ever wrote in Arabic. It's about Rambam. Somebody wrote him, asked him to have the Yad HaChazakah translated into Arabic. You know, I mean, after all, you know, you have all these other things in Arabic. He says, I'll tell you the truth, I'm sorry I ever did it. And at this point, you know, why don't you just learn Hebrew? It's very simple Hebrew. Even a child can read my Hebrew, and I think that's what you should do.
He spoke a lot in Arabic, too.
Everything you know. He has Harata. It's not really Arabic. I mean, it's Yiddish Arabic.
Jewish Arabic.
Yeah,
it's a
holy language. Yeah, I can say that it's a Kavachomer. If it's noticed, that's how they learn. Even Targum, which was given on Har Sinai, if you're going to speak that good. But as I said, the Russian one's not the target, because it's too close to the real thing.
Is Brit Shmei and Aramei?
Ah, exactly. So the question is, how do we deal with those issues? There's two things where we can use Aramei. One of them is the Gemara starts here. Shainei Chole Ishkina Imo. A Chole is different, because you don't need those Malachi Asharei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so Eidat HaChole, he's sitting there by the bed at the moment that you're being Mavakir Chole. So you can address them directly, and who cares whether the Malachi Asheret grant diplomatic recognition or know what you're talking about? Who needs Malachi Asheret anyway if you can speak directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So therefore, Amar Rav Hanan, Amar Rav, Minayin Shishvina So'ed Et HaChole. How do we know that the Shvina directly nourishes the ill person? Shnema Hashem Yisa'adenu Al Erez Devai. That God himself is being So'ed, is supporting him while he is on his sickbed. So therefore, you're addressing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tanya Nami, Yofi, and the Knesset of HaTeret HaKolev, if you're walking into someone's sick room, Lo Yeshev, Lo Agav Mitav, Lo Agav Kisei, you cannot sit on the bed, you cannot sit on a chair, which is the height of the bed, because it's a chutzpah, since the Shechina is in the room, you shouldn't be sitting on that level. Ela Mitatev, Yoshev Lefanav, you should be wrapped up in your talis, and you should be sitting in front of the Cholev, because the Shechina is the Mala Mirashotav Shel Cholev. Shinemar Hashem Yisa'adenu Al Eres Divai. So the teretz that we have here, that is being directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is brought also Legabit Tfilot in a Tzibur. Since HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present with the Tzibur, when there's 10 people, so then the Shechina is there. Therefore, you can say Berich Shmei, or you say Yehi Shmei Rabbah, and so on, directly, because these are things that are only said to Tzibur, and we don't care if you speak in Aramaic. Of course, this is the reason, I'm sure you know, that we have the Akdamais are in Aramaic. Must have heard that one. The beautiful Akdamais song on Shavuot, yeah, is in Aramaic. Why is it in Aramaic? Not so that nobody should understand it, but it's so beautiful that the concern was that the Malachi HaSharet would just be so angry and jealous about this beautiful song and all the great things that it says about Yisrael. You know, you don't want to get anybody angry, so you speak in a language that they don't understand. So since they don't understand Aramaic,
what
does
the
Rosh
say?
It's
saying about Kaddish Olsen.
They're not made Kaddish Olsen, not made true Malach. But they need to be transported by Malach unless the Shechina is present. That's what a Malach means. A Malach means an agent. An agent. The question is, does the agent function?
No direct line?
The literal meaning of Malach is agent.
There's
a
second
messenger. Isn't that a messenger? We use the word Malach for messenger as well.
Second is the chot, near the end.
No, that's horrible. Never say that.
What? Even the Tzibur?
No, you're not allowed to talk to Malach.
No, not that section.
The part that says Malach.
No, not that one. There are chot, in the end of the chot that are, so specifically, if one is not within the one should say it. Not the one about the mother. But
oh, the you mean the Aramaic?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, fine. Something else. Yeah. Those slichot that seem to address Malachim. So.
The parrot that says straight out, specifically speaking to Malachim.
Bring my tefillah up to the Lord.
Oh, like at the end of the sentence. Yeah.
Ah.
You're not talking to them, you're talking to them.
Nobody allows it. They only say that the Kavanah is that you're giving orders to the Malachim. Okay, guy, beep, go bring it up. It's certainly not the way that it looks. Nobody, I mean, and most of the Rishonim say it's just straight out Tefira, these Slichas. The Ramban writes in a number of places that most of the Slichas are just plain Tefira. So I don't even want to tell you the names of the authors because it's real Lashon Hara. But these are guys that are respected and it's just disgusting. You never say this kind of stuff. You definitely should be careful when you have to get involved in there's very often this type of ritualistic speaking to Midas and speaking to Malachim, which is all Avodah Zarah. So, continues now the mission next week. The Lo Yikra La'ora Ner. Omar Rava, I should say, Afilo Gavoa Shtei Komot, even if this Ner is so tall, by the way, Shtei Komot doesn't mean two stories high. Because in those days, a koma was not called. Koma means the koma of an adam. Not of a binyan. So even if it's double the height of a person, in other words.
So you can't reach it.
You can't reach it. I don't care if it's shtei mar da'ot, which was a common way of measurement. Throughout the mission, they measure with mar da'ot. Less than Mark Twain. Filo asara batim, so agabi. So even if you have a 10-story house, you can't read la'or on there. So we made a low look. But the mashma'ut is that only one individual cannot read. Chadudullah Likr. Hotre Shapir Dam, if there's two people reading, then that would be okay. But doesn't the Braita say Lo Echad Velo Shnayim? Amar Rabbi Elazar Lo Kasha, Kan B'Inyan Echad, Kan B'Shnei Inyanim. If you have two people that are reading together, so then the one person is aware of the other person's actions and is going to stop him. Well, I assume both of them will forget, but if they're both involved in their own book, you know, at that point you won't pay any attention to what the other person is doing. Because my focus was showing them whether this means reading out of the same book or just reading the same issue so that you're aware of it and talking to the other guy and so on. Omer Hunahu b'midurah, you got a very bright midurah, but there's more than one flame. Because, first of all, the light gets in your eyes. You can't really make out clearly what the other person's about to try doing stuff. And besides, you're sitting far apart from each other. If there's a midurah in the middle, you may simply not be aware. Omar Rabbi, im adam chashuvu mutar. If the person who's reading is an individual who would never himself fix his light anyway, he's got valets to do that kind of thing. He's going to get his hands dirty. And if the light goes off, someone will do it for him. So he doesn't have a problem. Said Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, and Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha was certainly an Adam Chashuv. Someone like me has no problem. And there was a time when he was reading and found himself just about turning up that lamp. And he said, wow, the Gra points out that he quotes Lo Yikra Lo Aner instead of quoting the Brayta Shema Yateh. That's the whole point. You see how great it is that the Chachamim don't give you their reasons. Because if they give you their reasons, you'd end up not taking them seriously. And then, indeed, you would end up being nichshal. So that's the Kama Gedayla Divrei Chachamim. Rabbi Natan Omer? No. Karavi Hita. What happened was, is he did turn up the light. The Katava Pinkaso, and he made a little note on his personal palm pilot. Ani Yishmael ben Elisha. Kariti v'atiti ner b'shabbat. He committed himself to bringing a nice juicy chatat to take up the chet here. Some learn that you only have to write this down where there's a machloket. It's machloket whether your chay is actually karet on havara, because the Torah specifically says the isra of havara, according to one shita, as we'll see soon, the havara is only lalav yatsa. So he wrote it down because maybe. Yeah, maybe the Sanhedrin at that time will tell him he shouldn't bring it. Or others will know, it goes according to your time. But that's not so
question. Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha was if not the time of vice chancellor.
He's an important guy, yeah. He was the guy that went up.
Oh, so he was supposed to be for
which, yeah,
and
yeah.
After basically.
Yeah. Sure.
What type of practice is this? I mean, he knows Muff is Asuri, he knows Day of Shabbos, and it seems like more like some sort of Misasa. Why is the practice in this case?
Well, obviously, he turned it up. He forgot it was Shabbos.
That's
no kasha. Yishmael ben Elisha never treated himself like an Adam Chashuv when it came to Divrei Torah. He wouldn't ask somebody, bring me the sefer, go get it. Wouldn't ask somebody, turn on the light. He would do it himself. So he, indeed, the Gezeirah applied to him. Now, one brayta says that a shamash is allowed to use the ner on Shabbat to check the silverware and the plates and make sure that everything is clean and it's the right stuff. Whereas the other one says, no, he's not allowed to be bodek. So, how do you explain that? Well, actually, lokasha. Kan b'shamash kavua, kan b'shamash she'ino kavua. Now, there's a number of different ways of learning this. If he's a shamash kavua, there he needs to do a very good job, and he's worried, and therefore he's going to look very carefully. He may be mate. If he's a shamash enoch of voice, temporary help, everybody knows the way you get temporary help. You might as well do it yourself. So therefore he's not going to be looking very carefully. The Tosis learns just the opposite, that the shamash enoch of voice means he doesn't have tenure. So he's scared he's going to get fired. He's more likely to do a good job because they're testing him out. Whereas the Shamash Kavua, he figures, all right, you know, if there's a little stain on it, they're not going to fire me already. I've been a butler here for 47 years. Okay, so that's what Levi say, Mahaba b'Shamash Kavua. We'd have to say, Mahaba b'Shamash Inu Kavua. The Lokasha, Mahaba b'Namash Kavua b'Namta. Depends whether you're using an oil lamp or you're using a kerosene lamp. Kerosene lamp stinks. And over there, you're not going to start playing with it because if it's working, you're happy enough. Shamash she'eno kavua. How about if it's a shamash she'eno kavua, but it's oil? So we have one of the advantages. I mean, marble. Omarav halacha ve'im morin kelok. It's mutter, but you can't start spreading this around. I mean, the next thing you know, there'll be mezalzel in the whole gezeira ve'im korin lo'ra there. Whereas Rabbi Yirmiyahu Bar Abba says, no, halakha morin king. Actually, Rabbi Yirmiyahu Bar Abba once came to visit by Rav Asin, and his personal valet gets up on Shabbat, and he's checking over the things before he feeds him. He's checking over everything to the Oron Erech. So Rav Asin's wife got all upset. I'm like, if he said, hey, wait a second over here. You never said we could do that. Marlo Abiyachin. Amalei Shafti, and go Rabbi Svirle. He follows his Rav. His Rav is Rabbi Yirmiyahu Bar Abba. Rabbi Yirmiyahu Bar Abba said, Alakha Morin King. You can't get down on somebody's back because he's following his own Rav. Can you? Nowadays you can. And then you go. Okay, so. Nice. Richie, we'll see you in the morning before you go.